asking about how I'm doing. I do have some more things ahead, and so they're not quite done with me. I joked with the doctor. I said, "Is it because I have good insurance?" He laughed and said, "It's not that good." And he didn't say that. I said, "Man, you got my blood. You know, what do you need?" So I thank you for that, and pray they'll help me. Of course, most everything they're telling me is exercise and eat better. And I said, I joined the gym. They said if $10 I could lose weight. I gave them 20, and look at me. And anyway, but we're thank you for that and for asking. I have a few people in my life that I really can talk to about things. I think I can anyway. Anybody like that? You got some people you can tell, and they're not going to look at you like you just grew a horn out of the side of your head. Anybody have people like that in your life, or you hope you do? A few of you. I mean, you wish you had people like that in your life. A few more. I have a few people like that in my life, and I don't see them very often. Look right up here, folks, if you would. You do not want me to come to you this morning, and I have a few people like that in my life, and I have a friend, and we kind of got stuck in a loop. A while back, I had gone through something, and it wasn't real pleasant. Anybody ever go through something that wasn't real pleasant, relational kind of thing or anything like that? And so he was there with me, and so we kind of talked after it happened, and then we really weren't in the same room for about a year. And so when we came back, he just started right where we left off, and he's talking to me about how I need to handle this big disappointment. And so we talk about a half hour, 45 minutes, and the more we talk, you know, it's just old memories for me, and we're going at it, and so we kind of get done, and dinner's over, and I don't see him again. We're just two ships passing, kind of, and we're at a conference together, and he had told me, he said, "Hey, I've got an extra bunk. Why don't you stay with me? You want to get a hotel room?" I said, "Okay." So we're in the room. We sit down. I mean, I don't have my luggage put down, and he starts where we left off a year ago. Something that happened 2 or 3 years ago, and he's talking to me, and we're about 20 minutes in, and he puts his Bible, we've come out of a survey, puts his Bible down, and he looks at me, and he says, "Rodney, I'm really worried about you." I go, "Okay." He says, every time we talk, you're bringing up this thing that happened several years ago, and you need to get over it. And I looked at him, and I put down my milkshake, and I stared across the room at him and said, "Dude, I have gotten over it. I haven't talked about it but twice in the last 3 years. Guess who I've talked about it with?" And he gulps real hard. I said, "You're the one who's stuck. Every time I get around you, you bring it up. I'm fine with it." He said, "Okay, you like baseball?" And that was the end of it. And we did. We've seen each other a few times since then. He looks at me and says, "Hey, you want to talk about it?" Nope. And it's funny how, if we're not real careful, we get stuck in some places. We get stuck in some areas. We get stuck in the past. Or we get somewhere we just can't move past it. Anybody, you got people in your life, as soon as you get there, as soon as you get in the room with them, they're hitting the rewind button. And they're starting off with the last wound, the last hurt, the last deal. And you're just like, "Oh, please, let there be an asteroid hit so we got something else to talk about." Man, just, you know, maybe a nice wildfire, just something, man, just anything to talk about other than this. If we're not real careful, we can never seem to get free. We can never seem to get free. Can you put my notes up there, guys? We never seem to get free. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about in two parts here. I don't usually bifurcate things, but I am this time. I want to talk about the past, and then I'm going to talk about the future next week. I'm talking about the past and the future. How can we do this? I researched this week and last week about things that people want to be free from. They want to be free from, and I just list them. This is my aggregate. This is my accumulation here. There's all kinds of these surveys and journals and things like that. People want to be free from their past mistakes, their past poor choices. And if you're using our app, HardinValleyChurch.com/app, all these are there for you. You can kind of follow along. It's no cost, and you can see what we're going. They want to be free from the past. Anybody here that would be one you'd like to be free from? Man, I made some bad choices, some sinful choices. I made some bad mistakes, and I would love to get rid of those things. I'd love to get rid of those things. I always chuckle when I see somebody. I'll be eating lunch with them, eating dinner with them, and I'll be with somebody, and it'll be John and Peggy, and I'll look on the guy's arm. He's got a big heart, and the heart says Sue on the tattoo, and I want to go so bad. Who's Sue? Because I'm crossing my fingers. It's Mom. But more than likely, Sue was somebody else, and he's lived with that all these years. And every time he rolls up his sleeves, it's an argument in the house. Be free from past mistakes, from poor choices. How many of you think that'd be a good one to be free from? Man, to be free and not have those piles and piles of regrets. Along with the first one comes the second one. People want to be free from guilt. They don't be free from shame. Truth of the matter is, that's almost become a cuss word. Don't shame me. Don't shame me. Don't judge me. Because people can't stand it. They can't stand it. Man, the whole industry the whole industry of recreational drugs and recreational alcohol, and all of that is based primarily on people desperate to forget something. Get me so snookered, I can't remember what I did that was so bad. The only problem is, most of the time, when you become inebriated, becoming an influence of drugs, your memory sharpens, and what do? You start grousing about what? All your regrets. Sad. Very talkative drunk people who all of a sudden are excellent historians. They're full of guilt. They're full of shame. People, man, they won't come to church. They won't come to God's house because they just feel so bad and so guilty. People want to be free. They want to be free when they take the surveys, when they publish some medical, their psychological journals. People say, man, I want to be free from my past. I want to be free from my guilt. People want to be free from their debts, from their financial decisions. Financial decisions. Anybody here like me, you spent money very quickly on something that ended up being a terrible idea? Anybody besides me, you've just done that? just a few of you. The rest of you are too broke to raise your hand. Is that how it is? And you know, I just had that. My pastor used to say, if I just had back the money on every sure thing somebody threw at me, I would be able to retire early. He said, I've figured it up. He said, right now I should be a multimillionaire. Instead, I'm really happy about the dollar menu at McDonald's. And he was being foolish and funny and all, of course. But we're there. We've done this. We've bought this. Bought these kind of things. When we moved, we had a long, long story. We'd moved a new subdivision. A guy that had become, or his wife become very good friends with Andrea. And he was a home builder, total contractor. And she had told her husband, said, Rodney and Andrea need a home. You're going to build it for him. He went, okay. So I get a phone call going, where do you want your house? I went, who are you? And he said, I'm so-and-so's husband. I'd seen him at church, didn't know him at all. And he said, I want to do this for you. He said, I can't buy a house. He said, I'm going to help you. I said, that's fine. I still can't do that. We're paying rent and all. He said, you don't need to give me anything. I'll take care of that. He said, you just work on getting your loan. I said, no, you don't understand. He said, well, I'm going to build it. He said, I'm going to build it just for you. I'm going to build it at my cost. I said, I've heard that before. And he said, no, I'm really going to do that. And so he'd be doing things. The wife said, you need to put that in there. You need to give him anyway. So long story short, the guy just did this wonderful thing. And we got we were able to get a kind of entry-level house. And just such a blessing. Well, I got to, and we it took a good while, but we finally got a loan and all this kind of stuff. And so we move in because my wife had a friend, and we're in there. But when they built the house, they just tore up everything. It was just they took all the topsoil off, so there was nothing left, and just tumbleweeds. And so I'm feeling really good about myself at this point. You still with me? I'm really feeling really good about myself. So this guy comes. I mean, we don't have any grass. I can't get it to grow. And this guy comes along with a big sprayer. He's like, I will spray the grass seed with this pressurized hose into your yard, and then it'll cover it with this foam, and I'll come by every so often and water it, so then you'll have grass in 3 weeks, full yard of grass. And me being dumb, because I'm thinking, man, I can't lose. This guy just built me a house for a reduced price, and my wife's friends with people. And anyway, I didn't think about it. I didn't really pray about it. I didn't consider anything. The guy looked nice. He had on a polo and a business card. And I said, sure, sure, let's do it. Not thinking, you know, man, this old clay that's been stripped off and has been sprayed with a weed kill, you know, before the farmer sold it, is never going to grow anything. Nod your head if you understand. Bad soil, it doesn't matter what you put. You know, you got to have good soil. And I said, okie dokie. And so he comes along and he sprays it, and he's got a little dye in there. So he turns my yard fluorescent green. It is just like he spray painted it. The neighbors come by, knock on the door going, what'd you do here, boss? You know, people ride by and wonder why we got a punk rocker living in the neighborhood. And anyway, and it's fluorescent green, and man, it was there, and you couldn't mow it, and the seed just died on the top of it. And he came back by going, I don't reckon I sprayed it well enough. You know, I think I need to make another application. At this point, I decided, no, but it's enough. Guess how much, I ended up having to, all this kind of stuff over 3 years. Right before we moved here, we finally got grass. We'd been there all those years, and we finally had a good yard of grass right when we came. And that's how long it took. It just takes time. Man, I have made so many, it feels like, bad financial decisions because a guy will look flashier, look like a good idea. People regret. Anybody, is that okay with everybody that the preacher admits he's made some bad ones, some awful ones? And then number four, people regret bad relationships. Country Western music industry is based primarily on bad relationships, right? Talking about this one and that one. Taylor Swift has made several $1 million because men were foolish enough to date her, knowing that they were about to be part of a song she was going to write. Bad relationships. People, I mean, if you mention an ex this or ex that, man, they just hate it. They just hate it. And I'm not saying you made the mistake. I'm just saying that's part of the thing. Man, I wish you didn't have some of that in my past. We shouldn't have those things in my past. People want to be free, if you'll allow me, from consequences. People want to be free from consequences. It's not just those things, but we do. We want to be free from consequences in our life. We want to be free from consequences. We want to eat without consequences. We want to not exercise without consequences. We want to put things in our body without consequences. We want to say awful things without the blowback and the consequences. We want to engage in behaviors that are addictive without becoming addictive. We want to do things without consequences, but God's word is not set up that way, and the natural order is not set up that way. There are always consequences when we violate and when we break God's law. We break God's law. I was having a discussion with someone a few months ago, and I said, your young person doesn't understand your words. They understand a smack on the hand. How many grandparents here understand that you watch young people, and they're going, no, 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 and you know, and the person's going, and the little kid's going, okay. That's all they hear, right? They understand this. They don't understand this. They understand the skunk eye maybe a little bit, but they don't understand. We've got to teach young people consequences. This, if you do this, if you sin, it breaks God's heart. If you sin enough, man's going to break your heart. Excuse me. If you sin, it's going to break your heart. Not enough. Sin is going to break your heart. Well, everyone wants to be free from consequences, but God's word says that there are consequences to sin. Your Bibles are open in Romans chapter 6. I want to walk you through this again. Go to verse number 20 there. For you were the servants of sin. When you were the servant of sin, you were free from righteousness. I suggest to you, you can choose your actions, but you can't choose your consequences. You can choose your actions, but you can't choose your consequences. You can choose to disobey, but you can't choose what happens after that. You can choose to engage in this behavior. You cannot choose what happens after that. So here's our first truth. Again, I'm going to do the past and the future past this week. Number one, everybody who's not a Christ follower is a slave to sin. Everyone who's not a Christ follower is a slave to sin. Your precious daughter who's not a Christ follower is a slave to sin. Your precious son who's not a Christ follower is a slave to sin. You here today, if you're not a Christ follower, the Bible says plainly, you are a slave to sin. You are a free from righteousness. You are enslaved to sin. The whole first part of the chapter talks about the contrast that is there between those who know Christ and those who don't know Christ. If you're dead with Christ, believe we'll live with Him. Christ being raised from the dead dies no more. Death has no more dominion over Him. Give me verse 7. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to God, but alive through Jesus Christ our Lord. All these things, because if you don't know Christ, you're a slave to sin. I hear so many messages, I read so many little books, and all, it seems like people trying to get lost people to act like saved people instead of trying to get lost people to understand I'm lost and I need Jesus Christ to change my life. I heard one pastor say it like that. We keep trying to treat goats like sheep, and they keep biting our hand, and we keep wondering what's going on. That's why when a church, man, doesn't preach the gospel, and they don't preach the law, and they don't preach sin and its destructive power, we're not really helping people. Not really helping people. You can dress up a corpse, but the corpse is still dead. Excuse me. You can spray air freshener, but if you can spray air freshener in a place, but man, there's death and decay and rottenness. You've not done anything to address those issues, and you are a slave to sin. Paul says, Romans chapter 7, when I was lost, man, I wanted to do what's right, but I was not able to do what's right. I don't have the power to do what's right. I said, preacher, boy, I wish I could do this. Let me help you. It's so clear. When you are slave to sin. Slave to sin. So it didn't have that big a hold on me. The Bible's clear. Neither yield yourselves servants to sin, but to God. And don't you know that whoever you obey, that's who your master is. Who your master is. See, I can stop anytime I want to, I can clean my vocabulary anytime I want to. I can change however I want to. No, you can't. You are a slave to sin. You are dead in your trespasses. You need to be made alive to God. Let me remind you, this is your current condition. It's not a future one. You are enslaved right now if you don't know Christ. You are enslaved right now. You are in trouble right now. Somewhere in the modern world thinking we've got this impression of God somewhere, you get to heaven, it's going to be like this. You guys are going, okay, you did some pretty good things, you did some pretty bad things, but your good kind of outweighs your bad, so enter on in. You don't get to live in the really expensive place, but you get to live in the suburbs, and God bless you, who's next? No, that's your state right now. You're under the heavy hand of judgment right now. People say, man, I don't want to be free from my past. I want to be free from the guilt and the shame and all that. You got to understand, your past is your future, right? Your past is your present, and it will be your future right now because this is your current condition. This is your current condition, not a future one. And you know this because you're a lawbreaker. You know this because you're a lawbreaker. Some of you heard me tell this on a Wednesday night some years ago. I connected and went to a service. Somebody was part of the church, connected to the church, and I didn't do the service. And a very nice fellow got up there in a very nice suit. And the people in the church, the family had said, this guy never went to church. He didn't know Jesus. As far as they knew, never had any inkling to things. And a guy got up there and he talked about what a wonderful fellow this was and what a nice guy he was, and if I had left there not knowing the family and what they'd said, I'd have never one time thought this guy had any spiritual needs at all. And the longer the guy talked, the madder I got. I don't think a funeral is a place to just be ugly or be harsh. I don't know that I know that. But he could have just said nothing and then addressed the living, because that's what funerals are for. Funerals are for the living. He could have gave Jesus to the living. And I'm sitting there going, man, he'd have been so much better served if he just talked about the Ten Commandments. Because when you say somebody's good, you got to measure not against other people, you got to measure against the law of God. I love doing that with people. Somebody say, man, I'm a pretty good fellow. I say, well, okay, well, just help me. Have you ever told a lie? And they go, I don't think so. I say, well, that's the first one. And somebody say, amen to that. You ever been at the beach, you know, and that gaggle of girls come by? You know, whether wearing three ribbons and two handkerchiefs, and you go hubba hubba hubba, you're like, well, sure I am. And I go, well, Bible says that if you lust in your heart, that's the same thing as adultery. I said, have you ever looked at something that somebody else has? Man, I really wish I had that. I really hate that they've got it. He said, yeah, I got people at work, man. They brag all the time. I said, have you ever really been really so angry in your heart? You just wish somebody else was dead. I just go through it. It doesn't take long. And then I say, have you ever said anything like, OMG, oh my Lord? Have you ever said anything like that? Have you ever put God at the start of a bunch of profanity? Have you ever done that before? Well, I've gotten mad enough, sure. I said, well, you just told me again that you're a lying, thieving, adulterous, lustful, blaspheming, cut guy. Now remind me, why are you thinking that you're such a good person? You know this because you're a lawbreaker. You're a lawbreaker. And Paul here is saying, the reason you're going to have hope is because at some point you came to the fact that you have dishonored God and broken His law and you stand guilty before Him. You don't have this right standing. You can't be free from all this stuff I've talked about until you figure out that you don't have the right before God. You never see your need of coming to Christ until you figure out you've broken His law, you've hurt His heart, and without His help, you cannot be what you want to be. And there is no divorcing from your past. There is no help to salve the wounds of the past. There is no release from the pain of the past until you come to Jesus as a helpless, hopeless sinner who says, God, I need you. I need you. Romans chapter 6, verse 21. Everybody who's not a Christ follower received the penalty from their sin. Look at verse 21. You still with me? Say amen. A lot of you writing notes in verse 21. What fruit had you in those things whereof you are now ashamed? This is not my notes. It's not in the app notes. It's not on the screen. I wrote it in my margin here. One of the evidences that you've come to Jesus, one of the character traits, is that instead of bragging about how you used to live, now that's a shame to you. Instead of bragging about how you used to live, instead of bragging how much you used to drink, instead of bragging how you used to run around, instead of bragging about how you used to talk, instead of that now, man, that is a shame to you because you know it broke the heart of God. Paul, what? By the end of his life, I am the chief of sinners. The closer you get to God, the longer you walk with God, the less appealing that old life should be for all of us. He said, this is the things you're ashamed of. What? Because it brought death. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. Wages of sin is death. Everybody who's not a Christ follower received the payment, the penalty for their sins. Your spiritual paycheck is death, separation from God. How are you going to deal with your past? You're going to deal with your past because you're going to get real honest about it. I just stood there. I stood there Saturday. Must have been yesterday. I stood there yesterday. My children's paychecks had come in from work. I bragged. I'm so happy. Everybody in my house is employed, except for me. I'm a pastor. I don't do much. And then their paychecks came in. And they were there. And it looked like a real check. And Andre had them out to deposit them or get them in. And I just stood there. I held them in my hands. And I thought, man, this is awesome. Please, God, don't let them blow this on bubble gum and stupid mess. And I'm sitting there, and Riley, I reckon, came in, maybe his Allison came in, and looked at, you know, what you doing, Dad? I'm just admiring the paychecks. You went somewhere to a stranger, and you worked hard enough that they thought you deserved some money. And I'm old school that way. I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing for young people to work and not sit at the house and go click. Click. And so I was there, and man, and I was there, and this is your reward, this is your wages, you made this. And then, they're working at Hobby Lobby, so Hobby Lobby pays goofy money for part-time people. I'm thinking, how many years did I ever work till I ever got anywhere close to this scale? And 10 bucks an hour, whatever it is for minimum wage, I mean, what is the deal? And so I had a bad moment, and anyway, I asked God to forgive me. And so we move along there. But I liked that. You earn, you work, you earn. Well, every line, every sin, just the simple fact that you have a sin nature, you have just stored up wrath. And one day God says, my mercy ends. In the finality of your life, and you will receive the wages that you've stored up. So God hadn't squashed me. God hadn't sent me a lightning bolt. God hadn't gone like this to me. He's dealing with you in mercy. There is a day coming when it will be all judgment. And you will receive everything you've earned. Does that make you happy? No, it doesn't make me happy at all. I preach a message like this to remind you that if you understand what I'm saying and can understand the Scriptures and understand right and wrong and understand what it means to break God's law, but you are guilty of all that, and God is saying to you, you do not have to do this. You can be free from your past. You can be free from that old life. And God can change your life today. Change your life. because everybody who follows Christ can be made free from sin. If I had the energy and the lung capacity, I'd make a lap right now. Everybody who becomes a Christ follower, everybody who responds to what Jesus has said to them, that whosoever comes to me, he will no wise cast out. Romans chapter 10. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Neither Jew nor Greek, for they're all under the law. But Christ has come on to satisfy the requirements of the law. He paid the penalty of your sin, and he offers to you to be justified and right with God. Man, you can be free from your sin. My brother Blair and I, it must have been last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the power of God. And we know people sometimes who seem like they struggle and struggle and struggle. And there are besetting sins, and there are things, man, where we're working through. I've got all that. But there is the instantaneous, life-changing power of God. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And God can change your life right now. And God can forgive you from your past. And God can you in the future, and it can all happen because of what he did on the cross and rising from the grave. That'll put some excitement in us, amen. Now help us, help me here. How do we live though? We live like we're just getting along a little better than everybody else. He has made you free from sin. Verse 22, being now made free from sin and become servants, slaves to God. You have your fruit and holiness. God has changed your life, changed the fruit of your life. Ephesians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit there. And the reward, the benefit of everlasting life. Everything is different when Jesus saves you. Everything can be different when he changes your life. Everything should be different. And by the way, it's no longer a wage that you earn. It's that great gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There will be nothing you ever do to earn his favor. He does it because he loves you. But he can change your life in just that moment. May I offer to you just a few applications here. A few applications, some important things to remember. He's freed you free. He's made you free from these things, by the way. I don't want to skip this. I started to, but I'm not. He made you free from the penalty of your sin. Somebody say amen to that, right? You deserve everything you get. Somebody says justified means just as if I'd never sinned. It's a little catchy phrase, but that's nowhere close to what it means. He recognized what he did, but he took it and put it on his son, and he paid the very last wrong he done. And your sin wasn't wiped out in the ether. Instead, it was placed on Jesus Christ. And everything you still deserve, but Jesus takes your penalty and your punishment on him. You can let go of the pain of your past. That means you don't minimize it. I mean, you don't act like it never happened. But Jesus can take pain of your past and help you forgive people. He can take the pain of your past and tell you that you're worth something. You have value because Jesus says you have value. He can take the pain of your past and the bad decisions maybe you made and help you to go, you know what, I've learned from that. And life is different now. And everything has changed because Jesus saved me from my sin. He can give you power to live for him. He can give you the power to live for him. My kids were smaller. They, every now and then, we want to do this, but it costs $5. We can't do it. I don't know if they overheard us talking about budgets. They saw Mom or Andre clipping coupon. I don't know. But they both went through a little stage where $2 or $3 was no money. Now they're teenagers and $2,000 or $3,000 is not any money. I'm teasing, and I'm kidding. But then through that stage, I'm like, we can do this. We just don't do some things. We don't go to Chuck E. Cheese every afternoon. But we can go to Chuck E. Cheese. We don't do this, and we went through a stage where we just had a lot of medical bills after Riley was so sick, and things like that. But man, we can do some things. We choose not to do some things. We choose to do some other things. If we're not real careful, we treat God like, God, this is a big deal for you. I got this real big need in my life, and I'm sorry to bother you, Lord. I know you may, you know, you're real busy here. No. He has power. He has all power. And there's nothing hard, nothing easy for him. He has that, and he can give you the power to live for him. Read it again. You have what? He has made you free from sin. You're now a servant, a slave to God. You can serve heartedly, and the past can become the past, and he changed the your life in a moment. You may choose to do it gradually, but God has that power. You can live for Him. That ought to encourage some of us. Because some of us seem like we're stuck. I got news for you. Well, in just a moment, we'll give you a chance. God, I feel like I'm stuck, but I know you have all power. I give this to you. By the way, problem with most of this is that we give it to Him, then we pick about half of it up and we go right back to our seat. I suggest to you, you're either a slave to sin or a slave to God. I'll expand this next week. Romans 6, pretty clear. Say, it doesn't really happen. It doesn't really bother me. You're a slave to sin or you're a slave to God. You can read Romans 6 any language you want. That's what it says. Number two, you can choose your actions, but you can't choose your consequences. You can choose your actions. You can't choose your consequences. I was coming back. I'd made a visit, was coming back, and I got behind. I was on a little bit of a highway, and I got behind two truckers. Still with me, I got 2 minutes. And it was one of those downpours, cloudbursts. And I don't exactly know. It looked like road rage to me, but there were two 18-wheelers. Seemed like they were both pretty loaded. And the one truck pulled out and actually pulled around the other truck and then slowed down. The trucker who'd been cut off jerked the wheel. How many of us in here understand 18-wheelers don't like being jerked like that? And when he jerked the wheel, his whole load sloshed over. It is pouring. I've got the wipers on high. I'm in one lane. There's a guy beside me. We both slowed way down because we both see what's in front of us. We're trying to put some distance. There's some road on the right, but there's nothing but one of those guardrails on the left. He floors it, comes up, and when he does, the air kind of catches it because it's really blowing hard. It gives one of those crazy downbursts yesterday. And when it does, it moves him. When it moves him, he's just feet away from the other vehicle. He corrects again. When he corrects this time, everything goes. He does a twofer. When the second one comes over, he's about 2 feet from the other truck. I'm thinking, I wish I'd gotten ice cream at lunch because it's going to be a long afternoon. And I've slowed down as much as I can without somebody running in the back of me. And I'm watching this. The other guy is pulled in. They're both kind of rocking back and forth. It's still pouring rain. The guy's trying to pull in front of him, and I'm thinking to myself, whatever's going on in their mind, there's about 30 cars behind us hoping and praying one of them doesn't jackknife. You can choose your actions. But he was fixing to send a whole lot of people to the hospital. You can't choose your consequences. You can choose to keep poking at the pornography, but you can't choose how it's going to destroy your relationship. You can choose what you put in your grocery cart. You can choose how it's going to destroy everybody around you. You can choose your actions. You can't choose your consequences. And I think the third one's plain. Only Jesus can save you from your sins. Only He can free you from your past. Only He can change your life. Some of us in here this morning, it's been a little while since we've been really excited about that. Only Jesus can change everything. Only Jesus can change our future. Only Jesus can save us from our past and the mistakes and the sins and all that's there for you. Read verse 23. But the gift of God, the grace of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I love to remind people, grace. Grace and that whole idea of the free gift. It's free not in the fact that it's cheap. It's free in the fact that you can't earn it and you can't buy it. And it was paid for with the precious blood of Christ who died for your sins, and He rose again from the grave of His own power the third day, and He ever lives now to save us from our sins. And if He's dealing with your heart this morning, you can be free from your past. You can be free from the penalty of your sins, and you can be free to live for Him and free to serve God in the future. Would you pray with me right now?